half the job done. We've got 5 candidates today. Congratulations. You know, to you guys, I just want to say that it's a real privilege and an honor to be involved in this significant day, a milestone, a spiritual milestone in your life. And just to give some of you visitors a heads up, I'll explain what the service will look like. We normally meet on a Sunday at 11 o'clock for about 90 minutes. I'm expecting this service to be about a similar length. We're going to have a Bible reading. We're going to sing songs. You've heard some of the band. We don't really do dreary, slow, sad songs here. We want to sing songs of celebration. We want this to be a day when we sing so passionately, so powerfully, that we lift the roof. So I want to encourage you, even if you're not used to singing uplifting songs of praise and worship, join in. You never know what can happen as you sing. We're going to be taking communion as well. And our communion is something Christians do to remember God's mercy and to receive the forgiveness of sins, the sacrifice of God. We remember the sacrifice of God and his great love towards us all. I'm telling you this because if you describe yourself as a Christian, I want to invite you to share communion with us a bit later. But you're very welcome if you're not quite sure whether you want to or not, you're very welcome to just pass that over. And in terms of parents taking, whether they want their kids to take communion, that's entirely up to you, and you can just control that as the bread and the juice come round. We don't do wine here. It's bread and juice. So that's the offer of communion to you. A little bit after that, there's going to be a short message where we're going to be addressing that question. Is death defeated? What does that mean for each one of us? And then also the highlight of the service, the 5 VIPs that will be being baptized. We're going to be hearing their testimony and their story. And then we'll be baptizing them. And we're going to finish the service with more praise and worship as we get changed and then rejoin the service. So that's how the next 90 minutes looks. Can I ask you guys to stand, please? We're going to start with the praise and worship. And I want to encourage you to sing loudly. Let's proclaim that the living God is alive.
Jesus. across the empty grave. Like a journal, you have won the day. Shout it out, Jesus is alive. He's alive, he's alive. Oh, happy days, happy days. You wash my sin away. Oh, happy days, happy days.
I'm going to explain communion. What have we here? No, it's not ice cream. Right. I'm going to open this box and find out what's inside. Ah, yes. It's the rope of life. Would you believe? It's the rope of life. There's a beginning and there's an end. Okay. The beginning of your life, you didn't know it. Your mother knew the beginning of your life. She was howling, she was screaming, she was shouting because you were coming. Okay? You yourself, you don't remember it, but you also was howling and crying. Your dad, if he was around, he probably fainted. So, you started life, and there's an end to your life. Who knows how long the rope of life is? We sort of guaranteed 70 years, but who knows? Anyway, we were born. So when we were born, Uday, we were born with free will. So I've got something nasty here. It's a bit of an old exhaust pipe. So I'm going to show you something. You see, when we were born with free will, and we could choose what was right and what was wrong. And I'm sorry to say that most of us chose, a lot of the times, the things that were wrong. Okay? What sort of things? Well, we knew how to lie right from the start about the biscuit tin. And then later on in life, we learnt a little bit more about things that are wrong, lying, stealing. You haven't stolen anybody? Yeah, I'm afraid I have. And got angry and violent and well, I don't have to tell you the wrong things that come into our life. And we got an adversary, Satan, and he ties in the wrong things in our life. Okay, so Uday, would you, this is you, or this is everybody. So we started life, okay? And here we go. Started life. Come on, Uday. Wasn't that difficult, was it? Okay, so we started life, and there we are. So, right. And stitched into our life is good and bad. And, you know, as we're living our life and progressing, we suddenly feel there might be a God. Who made all this? I mean, this is an amazing creation. And there must be a God. Surely there must be. And then you think to yourself, no, maybe there's not. And then you think to yourself, well, there must be a God. So God comes into your life. Just hold that nicely for me. So blue for heaven. Okay. Green for us. So God comes into our life eventually. God comes into our life. And then we think to ourselves, well, the idea of God is really good. So I want to meet with him. But here is a blockage. How can you come to God when you've been lying, thieving, stealing, doing all the bad things? You've got a bad conscience, haven't you? You can't really kneel down and pray when you've just cussed somebody or wanted to murder somebody or been violent and angry and addicted or whatever. So, but it's tied in, isn't it? It's all tied in. So you can't meet up with God, can you? You know, it's a blockage. So what's the answer? The answer is we want to get rid of that. Yeah? Yeah? You with me? We want to get rid of that. But it's tied in, isn't it? So how are we going to get rid of it? Shall we try abracadabra? No, that won't work, will it? We can't use the occult to get rid of the sin in our life. That's what the Bible calls it, by the way. Very simple word, sin. It's a horrible word, isn't it? But unfortunately, it's in everybody that's alive in the world. So we need to get rid of that. Have you got any washing powder? No, that won't work, will it? You can have a bath 6 times in a day. You can't get rid of that. It's a problem, isn't it? So how are we going to get rid of that? Good works? Did you have a New Year's resolution today? Maybe not. I don't know. And have you tried New Year's resolutions? How many days do they last? Still there, isn't it? It's a problem, isn't it? But I know a way. The Bible tells me there's a way to get rid of that. Okay? There was, you remember John the Baptist?
Yeah.
He came at the time of Jesus. John the Baptist, he saw Jesus in the distance. And he shouted out, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." Ah, now there's an answer. Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Okay, shall we try that, shall we? I'd like to say after me, okay? 1, 2, 3. Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Oh, nothing happened. That's a bit poor. Shall we try it again? A little bit more enthusiastically, okay? Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Maybe we're not enthusiastic enough. One more try. Really shout it out. Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. We're going to have communion, and I'm going to hand around the bread and the wine. This isn't a trick. This is the truth. This is the way to get rid of the sin in your life. Jesus on the cross brought forgiveness. He has the power to forgive you. He has the power to cleanse you. He has the power to make you born again and take away that horrible black sin. So, as we take around the communion, maybe you might this morning want to say, "Lord Jesus, be my Savior. Take away the sin that's in my life. Make me beautifully clean so I can meet with God." Okay, we're going to do it.
Jesus said, "I have come that you might have life in all its fullness." So let's stand as we sing. We're going to celebrate that promise. We're going to enjoy that promise. We're going to sing and give God all the glory.
I was buried in my shame. Who could carry that kind of weight? It was my tomb. Till I met you, I was breathing but not alive. All my failures I tried to hide. It was my truth. Till I met you.
Call my name, and I run out of breath.
weight of your glory. I needed shelter, I was an orphan. Now you call me a citizen of heaven. When I was broken, you were my healing. Your love is the air that I'm breathing. I have a future, my eyes are open. Cause when you call my name, I run out of that grave. Out of the darkness, into your glorious day. You call my name, and I run out of that grave. Out of the darkness, into your glorious day.
Hallelujah. Lord, we just want to bless you this morning. We want to thank you, Lord, for all that you've done. We want to thank you for this amazing invitation of new life. Lord, we want to honor you in this place. We want to say, Lord, that you are the way and the truth and the life. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness towards us. And Lord, we pray a blessing on the rest of this service. We ask, Lord, that you would be with each of the candidates. Lord, that you would bless them. That this would be a significant moment in their lives, Lord God. That you would speak to them. Lord, that you would propel them forward. This plan of transformation that you have for every one of us, Lord. Let it be a great blessing to them today, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please take your seats for a moment. You know, this invitation that God has for every single one of us is not a new thing. It wasn't something that Jesus brought for the first time. And we're going to have a reading now. And this reading was a sermon that was written by a guy that was around 1,500 years before Jesus was born. Very long time ago. And it's a reading about an invitation that God offers each one of us. An invitation of life. Phil, if I can ask you to come forward and read for us. Thank you.
It's a reading from Deuteronomy 30. Now, what am I commanding you today? It's not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. It is not up in heaven so that you have to ask. Who will ascend into heaven to get it and proclaim it to us so that we may obey it? Nor is it beyond the sea so that you have to ask. Who will cross the sea to get it and proclaim it to us so that we may obey it? No, the word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart so that you may obey it. See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, and to keep his commands, decrees, and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. This day I call the heaven and the earth as witnesses against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life, so that you and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, and hold fast to him. For the Lord is your life, and he will give you many years in the land he swore to give your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Thank you very much, Phil. What a long-standing promise. What an amazing thing that God has offered. And over those thousands and thousands of years, millions and millions of people have responded. We're baptizing five of those people this morning. And we're going to hear a little short testimony from each of them now. I'm probably going to get myself in trouble if we do it in age order. But we will have the younger ones first. So should we start with you, Lexi? Would you like to come and share your testimony? Just a little bit of your story. Can I just say, I don't want to embarrass her, okay? One of my jobs when somebody wants to be baptized is I have to make sure they're a Christian first, because it would be silly to be baptized if you weren't a Christian. And so I ask, what's a Christian? Why do you want to be baptized? And I've got to say, Lexi, that you gave me the most complete and confident answer I've ever heard, I think, out of all the adults that I've asked. I thought perhaps she may be a little bit young, but she knew exactly what a Christian was. She knew exactly what baptism was for. So that's my introduction. Let's hear what you've got to say.
Okay. So my nanny and granddad have always brought me to church since I was around two. But it wasn't until I was at the age of 5 or 6 I really started to understand the reason I was there. God plays a big part in my family's life, especially my granddad. And as a family, we try to live by the Bible. And I know that in the past, I've not always been the best I can be. I was naughty, disrespectful, and cheeky. But Nanny says that Jesus will understand and forgive my sinning because of my young age. When my sister Neve was baptized, I was really jealous, and that motivated me to reach out for Jesus even more because I wanted to be and was determined to be a child of God. I now want to serve God the best way I can. Once I've been baptized, I would like to do more for the church, like help the younger children on their journey with Jesus, and I also don't mind like washing up and that.
There's as much glory in that as anything else.
With God, my life has changed significantly, and I can't imagine a life without Him. Today I'm going to dedicate my life to Him permanently, and because I'm saying this in front of like everyone, can't really turn back now. But today is the start of my new life, and I want to thank all the church, but one person in particular, and that person is my Aunt Lucy, because Lucy took me to church when I was little, and even though she had to chase me around and drag me off the stage when the pastor was speaking and preaching. So, thank you.
Fantastic. Thomas, one of the great things about being a pastor is you get to baptize your own children. So, we've got to do him this year because he's going to be too big to fit in next year, if he keeps growing like this, but you've got a short testimony to share.
Hello, everyone. So, ever since I was young, I've always wanted to be baptized. I was too young, or I didn't feel it was like the right time. But now I'm fully ready to commit my life to God through baptism and get rid of my old life. I feel that this will elevate my relationship with God and bring me closer to His presence, which is ultimately what I seek in my journey with Him. Thank you, God, and the people of the church, and I look forward to my next step. My journey with Christ. Thank you, everyone.
Well done, Thomas. Okay, right. So that's the end of the age order thing. It's just the adults, though. Okay. So, Ollie, where are you? There you are. Come and share your testimony. It's very encouraging.
So, I think I always believed in God, really. The trouble was finding a way to have a relationship with Him. I tried being a Hare Krishna, I tried Buddhism, I tried reading the Quran. I found things to love in a lot of it, but nothing really stuck. And then I moved away. I tried the Mormon church, I tried the Jehovah's Witnesses, I tried the Quakers, which I again really liked, but it was found it lacking something. I put a lot more effort into enjoying myself than into being happy. And I think a lot of people that loved me were worried about me, but I was too selfish to really take that to heart at the time. Then I came back to Birmingham and kind of things got a little bit worse. But then last January, things just started getting better. New things that I'd always wanted to learn just clicked into place. Things that I shouldn't have been doing just kind of switched off. Things that I used to love just came back into my life. I started coming here. I remember actually the second time I came, before I had accepted Christ, I remember Pastor Terry saying about Gandalf. And I remember thinking, I'm going to get on well here. I didn't know how true that was going to prove. And then I came to one of the Big Eats Jolly Teapots, and she asked me if I was a Christian, and I didn't really know what to say. So she just nodded and smiled, "I'll get John." So Bagheera and John took me into the corner and prayed with me and prayed for me. And it was just like all the shutters were thrown open and there was a cool breeze blowing through. And I just walked out feeling like I was supposed to feel, really. And then last September, I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, which, I mean, it was the most glorious thing I've experienced so far in my life. I don't know how to explain it, really. Just it was incredible and glorious, and from then really, I knew that I wanted to have my water baptism. Pastor Terry said, you know, if you wait till Easter, that'd be the best time. So here we are, and thank you. And thank you for listening.
Well done, Ollie. That's brilliant. Mike and Celeste, I can't see where you are. There's so many people here. Oh, there you are, right at the back. Right, you've got a long way to walk. Should we go for... who's first? Mike. Okay.
Morning, all. What a glorious day. Say hallelujah. My journey is a little bit different to those we've heard so far. Been brought up Roman Catholic. My sister will confirm this. Father sort of dominated us, forced us to go to church, to a church which I really didn't feel part of. First chance I got, I was out of there. I sort of drifted around from one church to another over the years. Through Boys Brigade, through Methodist Church, and Boys Brigade through other churches as well. Eventually, about 4 years ago, I found here. And it's sort of changed my life. Met Celeste as well. We got married over in the Philippines. And things have taken a different turn. And just recently, Satan has put a block in the way. But I hope today, like Joshua did with the walls of Jericho, I can knock that wall down.
In Jesus, you've got victory. Yeah.
Good morning, everybody. I'm so glad to see you all here. Thank you for giving me this chance. And... before being a Christian, I've been a Christian for quite a while now. Before that, I'm always me, myself, and I. I always lean on my own understanding. I'm always a person that wanted to hit something. There you are. How do you call this? Hard-headed, but also a person who wanted always everything that I can manage myself. But there are certain things happen in my life that lead me into hatred and even wanted to revenge for what had happened. But I am so thankful with God being in my life. I have here something. Life before Christ is darkness, hopelessness, no direction. Yes, there is direction, but there's some kind of emptiness. So I go to church, pray the repeated prayer, but nothing is really going inside my heart. And one day I was struck by a question. Somebody says, "How, if you die today, how sure where you are going? Do you know where you are going?" And I thought, wow, yes, that's of course, are you safe? And I thought, no, I'm not sure about that. So that led me into something to search for information about God. And here it is like says here, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Ouch, because I'm always myself, isn't it? And in all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. And at that moment, yes, Lord, I'm going to give my life to you. And from then on, when I made myself available to God and say, yes, Lord, you are now my Savior, it's just the change, the total change of my life, 360 degrees turnaround. And there's no turning back, and I didn't regret. This is the best thing that happened in my life. And I can see the transition from my life. Nothing is impossible. He turned my mourning into dancing. Yeah. So, and after that, I can see the first thing that really what I learned is forgiveness. So I'm not going to skin off that person anymore. Because I wanted to skin him off and let him feel the pain that I have. But God made my heart possible for forgiveness and direct my path. And I can see the beauty of life. And my last was, this is also one thing that I'm living every day. Arise, shine, for the light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. So I learned to let go and let God to do everything. Being a Christian, life being a Christian is not that easy. But at least there is God who's there that I can hang on. We have challenges. We have setbacks. But I leave it to him. And I know that he will make my life better. So looking forward to the baptism, I told Pastor Terry, I'm ready. And I'm looking forward for it. I'm excited. I have my flipper, my snorkeling gear.
Fantastic. One of the great things about church is that every Christian you meet has got a story. Billions upon billions of people with a story to tell of how they encountered God and the difference it makes. And every single story is slightly different, but it all has the same destination. Now, it's time for the preach. My regulars are used to me preaching for about 30 or 40 minutes, but I'm not going to do that to you this morning. It will be a little bit shorter, but I do want to give you something to think about over this Easter weekend, something to consider. I hope that this service has been thought-provoking for some of you, perhaps, that aren't in church every week. The title of the message this morning is Death is Defeated. And there's a famous quote that I always remember when I'm thinking. I don't often think about death, so it's not a great thing to think about. But when you do, there's a famous quote that I always remember. Somebody once said, there are two things certain in this world, death and taxes. And I'm not going to talk about taxes today, that would be even worse. But I do want to talk about death very briefly before I then talk about life. And the Bible has a lot to say about death, and it has a lot to say about life. Do you know that most of us are too busy to really give it much thought? And even as a culture, even as a society, we don't really want to think about death. We avoid thinking about it. You know, we say of our loved ones that we miss very much, we say that they passed or that they fell asleep. We don't even like to use the word. But the Bible never shies away from the inevitability of death. It says, yes, there is a death, but actually you can defeat death. You can overcome death. If you're a Christian, death has no hold over you. It's not part of your future. The Bible says that we're all born spiritually dead. John alluded to that with the great trick, by the way. I enjoyed that. Brilliant. Yeah, you must be quite nervous. Make sure you put it all together properly. But it really illustrated very well that we are born spiritually dead. And that's why there are so many problems in the world. It's obvious when you think about it, when you look around, all of the things that are going on in the world. And the Bible answers lots and lots of questions about the meaning of life. It says people are born with a body and a soul and a spirit. But the spirit is unable to connect with God. It's dead. And as a result of us choosing to live independently, we have made choices that brought sin into the world. John explained what sin was. It's an old-fashioned word. It just means wrong choices, the bad things we choose to do, the selfish things. And the Bible says that because sin exists, so does death. And sin leads to death. It It's an inevitable path that we walk down. But it doesn't just leave us with that problem. It doesn't just confront us with this and then say, well, what are you going to do about it? It isn't hopeless. It provides us with a solution. God himself provided us with a solution to death. And Mike and Celeste and Ollie and Thomas and Lexi and many others have found that solution. Many other Christians have found that solution, that death can be defeated. And it's one of the great questions of the ages. How can we overcome death? Everybody, every single person in this room at some stage in your life will ask that question. Might be around a hospital bed, might be very strained circumstances, very bad circumstances. But at some point we ask that question, how can we overcome death? And some people, as John said earlier, try to fix it by behaving well. We try to be the best that we can be, the best person. We pretend that everything's okay. We don't use the word. We think of other things. And we put it off time after time. We try to fix it by denying that we do things wrong. I often hear that. Why are Christians so fixed on telling people how awful they are? But some of that stuff in our heart, if we're really honest about it, it weighs us down. Guilt and shame are not pleasant emotions to have. We've all experienced that, the feeling of what it is to do things wrong. And we lose that connection with God because our spirits are dead. And we know, even when we're not Christians, even when we haven't got a relationship with God, we know when things aren't right. Many people feel it. And we start to ask the questions in life. Why am I here? What's the purpose of life? Surely there must be more to life than this. Something's missing. Well, it's precisely at this point that Jesus speaks into this problem and this situation. And he speaks with words that become crucial to us, words that we have to respond to. He said these words. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live and not die. And I believe that there's good news out there for every one of us who are searching for something. People that think there's something missing. Maybe Ollie certainly was looking for something. Every one of us will be looking for something. People that are worried about death. People that are searching for a deeper meaning in life. And every Easter we remember this remarkable fact that Jesus is the only one who has died and been raised to life. There were 500 witnesses, eyewitnesses, at the time. People deny the resurrection these days, but in those days they didn't, because it was undeniable. There were witnesses who saw it with their own eyes. It wasn't denied at the time it happened. And Jesus, the man who always did what the Father wanted, who never sinned, died and was raised to life so that we could live. And at the very heart of the message of Christianity is this truth. It isn't that Jesus was a good teacher, although that is true. It isn't even that Jesus was a great miracle worker, and that's true too. But at the center of the good news of Christianity is that we can avoid death because he did first. And it's what God made you for in the first place. It isn't just that Jesus died on my behalf and your behalf, but we celebrate the fact today that he rose again. He overcame death. And that resurrection was witnessed, as I say. And we're going to move on to the baptisms in a couple of minutes. But I wanted to explain, just before I do that, why we don't do baby christenings, why we don't do infant baptisms. We believe, as Christians, in full immersion. We believe that adults have to choose to follow God, and then they can be baptized in full. And it's powerful symbolism. It symbolizes death as you completely give up your old life and go under the water. And it symbolizes being cleansed by Jesus, being forgiven, living in the grace of God every day, moving forward with a clear slate, a clean conscience, free from guilt and shame, knowing that God has done all that is necessary for us to be in that right relationship with the living God. And as you come up out of the water, it symbolizes that new life, such hope, such expectation for a new life with God. And at the moment that you put your faith in Jesus, something miraculous happens. New life begins in you. Today, it isn't the baptism that causes that new life to begin. The baptism is just an outward expression of an inward change, something that's already happened to these five people, part of our family. And we can't see it today here. But you know, just as we're celebrating here, and so many thousands of people all over the globe are celebrating people being baptized today, all of heaven is rejoicing with us. We don't see that, but heaven is having one heck of a party right now. They are having the time of their lives. They're rejoicing because of what's happening in the lives of the people that are being baptized, because they know that through this they are defeating death. They're demonstrating what God has done. Now, you guys have been raised to life in Jesus when you put your trust in him, and that resurrection power is available to you from the moment you gave your life to Jesus. The Holy Spirit, as you surrender your old life, the Holy Spirit is empowering you every single day to live your new life. And I want to finish with this, the first and greatest commandment. It's the church's mission statement, our statement of purpose. And it says, love God and love people. I want to encourage you on your walk every single day. Choose to love God and love people. You can't do that through your own strength. But when you ask God to fill you, he will give you all that you need to live that kind of life. A life filled with hope and purpose. A life that has meaning. Something bigger than what you can ever do on your own. And I want today to be a wonderful milestone for all of you. My hope and prayer for each one of you is really that it will propel you into a new life of ministry. That you have a message that your life has been transformed. The people around you's lives, they can be transformed too. And I just want to pray over each candidate as we prepare ourselves for baptism right now. Father God, we just thank you for this promise of new life. Thank you for the fact, Lord, that we can have a hope and a future, that it isn't dependent on ourselves, that it's a free gift. Lord, that you offer that free gift to every single person who wants to take you up on that gift. Through faith in your Son, we can be born again. We can live a life filled with forgiveness and a sense of purpose. Lord, I pray that you bless each candidate today. Lord, that sense of hope and expectation that they feel right now will continue to grow and prosper in each one of them. And Lord, that their lives will be filled with faith as they follow you. Give them all that they need in the coming days, Lord God, I pray. May the blessing and favor of God go with each one of them. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Right, so this is the bit where it gets a little bit chaotic. So what we're going to do, guys, if I can ask for you to come to the edge of the pool. All the candidates, please. You're welcome, guys, to stand up and look around. Is this still going to work if I move around here, Jack? Yep. So if I can just ask the candidates to very carefully line up here, please. So shoes off and flippers on. Everybody there? Yep, wonderful. John, you have some life verses to share with us for each candidate. Would you like to do that, please?
Okay. Celeste, Joshua, as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. And then Mike, your verse that you quoted, Proverbs chapter 3, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Where's Ollie? There he is. Psalm 91. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. Alexei, John chapter 10, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one shall snatch them out of my hand. And then Tom, Philippians 1, God is the one who began this good work in you, and I am certain he won't stop before it is complete on the day Christ Jesus returns.
Amen. Thank you very much, John. You're going to be presented in a couple of weeks' time with certificates with those verses on, so that we're going to, as a reminder. And I want you to pray over those verses. Let them become part of your your daily walk with God. Right, so we're going to pray for each candidate. Ben, you're going to pray for each candidate. We're going to join you in prayer. And then together we'll be baptizing.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your amazing grace, Father. We thank you, Father, you are the one, you serve these people who are about to declare their commitment to you, Father, right now, Father. We pray, Father, as they start this journey to walk with you, Father, you will protect them, Father. And the Holy Spirit will walk with them, Father, because he is our helper and our guidance, Father. I pray for each one of them, Father, you will continue to equip them in your word, Almighty God. Thank you, Lord, as I cover them with the blood of Jesus. Thank you for your protection over them. In the name of Jesus, Father, I pray, and I believe that it is done. Amen.
Bless you. So you need your shoes off. To the candidates, I'm going to have to apologize for the temperature of the water, but we'll do it as quick as you can. Yeah. Right. So. Right, last check. You haven't got your phone in your pocket. Praise the Lord. Okay. Right. So we're going to invite you in one by one. And we're going to ask you to confess your repentance before the Father and faith in the Lord Jesus. And upon your confirmation, I will baptize you. You will go fully under, but we won't drop you, I promise. Okay?
Happy day, you wash my sin away. Oh, happy day.
Heavenly Father, we declare that truth over ourselves today, that we are a child of God, loved by you, so precious in your eyes. Thank you, Lord, that your love pursues us through every circumstance, in every situation. Lord, you're never far away, that you are the living God. You're the God who desires to be close and to know us. Father, my prayer for each one of us today is that we grow to know you deeper and deeper. Lord, that the living God would come close to each person in this room. Lord, that you would alight our lives with purpose and meaning. That you would give us a hope for the future, knowing that we have defeated death through you. Lord, we pray Easter blessings over each other. Help us, Lord, to enjoy this wonderful weather, the blessings of a wonderful weekend. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for joining us today. Please stay for tea and coffee and have a wonderful weekend. God bless you all.